Good evening and welcome to Calvary South Austin's first online service. Throughout this message, it's possible that you'll have questions about where we're at and what we're doing, or maybe you want clarification on something that I've said. And if so, then you can connect with us on our social media accounts. You can link to those accounts from our website there at calvarysouthaustin.com. So feel free to send us any questions or comments, and hopefully we can answer all the questions that you would have as we consider all this content here tonight. I am excited about what the Lord is doing, and I'm looking forward to spending this time with you in this very special way. If you would, let's begin with a word of prayer. If you would, let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to minister to the people of our church in this unique way. Lord, I pray for those who have impacted by the coronavirus. We pray for healing. We pray for a vaccine. We pray for safety. Lord, we ask that you would have your hand on our nation as well as on this world. And Lord, I pray that you would take this information that you've put on my heart and use it for your glory and also for the benefit of every believer here at Calvary South Austin. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, throughout the past 15 years of my pastorate, I've faced many difficult decisions, but none of them more difficult than the decision that I made on Monday night as I met with the lead deacons of the church. And in light of the current situation that we find ourselves in with this COVID-19 virus, I've decided to direct our fellowship of faith according to the guidelines strongly suggested by the Center for Disease Control. Now, rather than running the risk of spreading the coronavirus by gathering together here at our physical location, I'm inviting you to join us for weekly services now and daily devotions and status updates. You can do that by joining us right here online. I'm going to provide you with more information about how you can connect with our online community here in our service tonight. But for now, I just want to take a moment to explain how I came to this difficult decision to close the doors of the church. And as you already know, we're currently in the middle of a pandemic, which is rapidly affecting people all over the world. And as a result, the officials of the CDC, which again stands for the Centers for Disease Control, they're scrambling to provide us with guidelines for how we should respond to this contagion. Last week, the CDC advised us to limit gatherings to groups no larger than 250 people. But then within a few days, they reduced that number to 50. And then on Monday, they changed that number to 10. In light of this government recommendation, was forced to consider the question, should I submit to the federal authorities by closing the doors of the church or not? Should I ignore the encouragements of the CDC and continue to encourage the members of our church to meet? There's just so many questions that have to be asked. And with all these questions in mind, we should consider something that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 13. You see, it's in the 13th chapter of Romans where we find Paul. He's encouraging the first century saints there in Rome to submit themselves to their government. Now, with this as the focus, I'd like you to look with me here at Romans chapter 13. Let's begin reading there at verse 1, because here Paul declares, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." Now, here in these verses, we find Paul. He's encouraging the Christians there in Rome to live in submission with their government officials. The reason why is due to the fact that the governing authorities are ultimately appointed by God, and those who resist government authorities are ultimately resisting God. Paul also pointed out that the Lord has ordained the governments of the world to serve mankind, and he's creating conditions through human government that result in the peace and the safety of that population. And so what this means then is that the Christian who wants to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, well, that Christian should choose to live in subjection to the governing authorities. Now, at the same time, it's also important for us to understand that there might be times when we must resist the authority of human government. One example of this can be seen in the book of Acts. This is where we find the apostle Peter and John. They're rejecting the authority of Israel's high priest. The story is actually found in Acts chapter 4. This is where we find the religious leaders of Israel. They're ordering Peter and John to stop spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But rather than complying, they continue to preach the good news that the forgiveness of sins is found by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, in response to their rebellion, the religious leaders then arrested them once again. And that's when the high priest asked them, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name?" And to that, Peter answered and declared, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now, as we consider the way that Peter and John were quick to resist the orders of those who were in authority over them, we can see that there might be times when the church is unable to subject ourselves to those in authority. There might be times when we're unable to comply with what the government is telling us to do. And you better believe that I'm going to be the first one to take that stand against the government if and when they pass laws against the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. If I'm told that it's illegal to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to become a criminal. I was a criminal when I was a kid. I might become a criminal again as I go out and preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Of course, we're not in that place right now, but there could come that day when the church has to take this stand against the government. If the authorities ever criminalize the Christian congregation, believe me when I tell you that I'm going to encourage every Christian to resist those in authority who would criminalize the Christian congregation, much like Peter and John resisted back in the first century. But what about today's pandemic? And what about this new legislation that forbids gatherings larger than 10 people? As of yesterday, those who violate this restriction here in Travis County could be fined $1,000. If the doors of the church were open tonight and we gathered our Wednesday night group together, we could be fined $1,000 just for meeting. And as we consider this new law which prohibits the assembly of our Christian congregation, we must take a moment to ask, is this a time to resist those who forbid the assembly of the saints? Or should we simply subject ourselves to the governing authorities? Well, in order to answer this question, I want to consider something that the Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle. If you would, let's turn in our Bibles now to 1 Peter chapter 2. As you make your way to the second chapter of Peter's first epistle, I want to take a moment to remind you that the Apostle Peter, he had no problem resisting human authority. And he had no problem resisting human authority when it was in conflict with the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. At the same time, though, he was also a leader who encouraged every Christian to obey human authority whenever those in authority were enforcing the laws which are intended for the good of the people. And as we consider the encouragement that Peter presents here in his first epistle, I believe that we'll gain a biblical basis for answering this question about whether it's time to resist authority or whether it's time to submit to authority. With this as the goal, if you would look with me here at 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to begin reading at verse 13. Here the apostle declares, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." Now here in these verses we find Peter, he's encouraging every believer to submit to the ordinances of human government. At the same time, it's also important to understand that, you know, Peter's specifically referring to the ordinances which were designed to protect those who do good and punish those who do evil. Therefore, it's God's will for us to obey the ordinances of human government. That is, unless the ordinance is designed to punish those who do good or promote the wicked works of evildoers. In light of this, we should take a moment to ask then, is the new legislation that forbids gatherings larger than 10, is this new legislation meant for our good, or is it the promotion of evil? Is the government targeting the church in order to punish those who worship Jesus? Or is this new ordinance designed to protect the population from this current pandemic? As we consider the recommendations of the CDC, and as we consider the new legislation that's been introduced by Mayor Adler, it seems to me, and it seems very obvious, that they aren't trying to punish the church. Because this is something that's true of restaurants, it's true of nightclubs, it's true of every place where people gather together, and so this impacts the whole of our community. You see, they're attempting to stop the rapid spread of this new contagion. They're doing this by encouraging every group to engage in social distancing and even self-quarantine. Now, you may or you may not agree with these measures. Personally, I believe that the authorities are overreacting to this pandemic. But regardless of whether we agree or disagree with these measures, we can at least believe that the CDC isn't trying to punish the church. No, instead, they're attempting to protect our population from this pandemic. Therefore, this isn't the time for resistance, but rather this is a time for Christian cooperation. And it's for this reason that we've decided to practice proper pandemic precautions, and we've done this by closing the doors of the church until this pandemic passes. But now this raises another question for us, and the question is about the state of the church, and the question is, how should we assemble together if we can't physically meet here at our facility? With this question in mind, I want to consider something that Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews. If you would, let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and as you make your way to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, I want to take a moment to remind you that Paul wrote this letter to a group of Hebrew believers who were beginning to forsake the assembling of the church because they were afraid of being persecuted. Rather than allowing them to slip away from their fellowship of faith, Paul challenged them to maintain their connections. And with this context in mind, I want to look here at Hebrews chapter 10. If you would, let's begin reading here at verse 23. Here Paul declares, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now here in these verses we find Paul, he's encouraging the Hebrew believers there in the first century to set aside their fear of persecution and to continue meeting together with the people in their fellowship of faith. In other words, Paul was challenging them to risk their lives in order to maintain their Christian congregation. And as we consider this challenge, we must not fail to understand the implication of this encouragement. Simply put, it's crucial for Christians to maintain the assembly of the saints. And with this as the goal, I'm encouraging every Christian, let's maintain our assembly by joining together with online services. Under normal conditions, I would take issue with the able-bodied believer who decides to stay home so that they can watch their favorite pastor. Look, if you like watching your favorite pastor online and you like, watching your favorite pastor on television, I'm all for it, so long as you continue also to be a part of a local Christian assembly. But the Christian who is able to attend a local fellowship, but then decides to stay home and watch on television or watch online, this Christian is failing to enjoy all of the benefits of body ministry, which is accomplished as we join together corporately and use our spiritual gifts to edify and serve one another. Unfortunately, we do find ourselves currently in a season of time that makes it impossible for us to meet face to face. Therefore, in order to practice proper pandemic precautions throughout this period of time, I'm encouraging every member of our church to maintain the assembling of the saints and to do this by joining us weekly for our online services. Now, you can take comfort knowing that our small group ministries will continue to meet. We're going to be using video conferencing technology. Our women's ministry used this for the first time last night, and from all reports that I've heard, they had a great time. It was a wonderful time of edification and Bible study and prayer. And so we're going to be employing these measures. We're going to be using social media sites. We're going to be using video conferencing technology so that we can maintain the assembly of our church. Not only that, but we're also going to live stream our Sunday morning service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're going to have worship, and then we're going to have Bible study, and we're going to continue to offer what we've been offering for years and years here at Calvary South Austin. We're going to continue to worship God together. We're going to continue to study the Word together as we assemble together, but just a little differently. We're going to be assembling together online. And in this way, we're able to observe Hebrews chapter 10 by actively maintaining the assembling of the saints. And at the same time, we're also observing Romans 13 as we submit ourselves to this temporary ordinance, which is designed to promote proper pandemic precautions. We also have a plan to provide daily updates and encouragements as we wait for further instructions from the CDC. And while it's true that we will continue to offer daily opportunities for Christians to connect, it's also true that it's going to be easy for us to silently slip away from our Christian assembly. There's not going to be the same accountability. When I notice that someone hasn't shown up for a week or two, by the third week, it's like, hey, we need to call this person. We need to see what's going on. We need to find out what's happening in their life. And that can easily, just be diminished because we can't see who's showing up and who's not. Therefore, I encourage you to maintain your relationships with one another. To put it in the words of Paul from Hebrews chapter 10, let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let's consider one another. Let's continue to connect with one another in the way that we can right now. Let's connect through social media. Let's connect through that archaic instrument that we used to use. Let's call one another. Let's make phone calls, and let's talk with one another. And let's continue to check up on one another and encourage one another, and especially those who are high risk for contracting the coronavirus. Let's check up on our friends and our family members during this time. At the same time, it's also important for us to maintain our own mental health during this crisis. And we need to make sure that we're keeping a proper perspective of this pandemic so that we can maintain mental health. With this as the goal, I want to consider the encouragement that the Lord presented through the prophet Jeremiah. If you would, let's turn in our Bibles now to Jeremiah chapter 29. And as you make your way to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, I'd like to remind you that the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, in order to understand the basis for this mental sanity that comes from the Spirit of God, I want to consider the promise that the Lord presented through Jeremiah. If you would look with me here at Jeremiah chapter 29, I want to focus your attention there on verse 11. Here the Lord declares, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He's thinking thoughts of peace towards us, not evil. He wants to give us a future and a hope. As we consider this promise that the Lord was making to the children of Israel during the days of Jeremiah, we can rejoice in knowing that the Lord has also promised to provide those who trust in Jesus with a future and a hope. As a matter of fact, that word future, found there in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it's translated from a Hebrew word that speaks of the future rewards that we will receive from the Lord. This reminds me of the promise that Jesus presented in Revelation chapter 22, where he declared, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." The Lord has a reward for those who trust in him. Those who trust in Jesus Christ then can maintain our sanity today by focusing on the future that we have with Jesus Christ and the rewards that we will eventually receive as we find ourselves in his presence. And as we focus on the future rewards that we will eventually receive from Jesus, our hearts then ought to be filled with hope. The Lord wants to give us a future and a hope. That word hope, well, it's translated from a Hebrew word that's used of those who have a hopeful expectation of something good. That's what we ought to have, Christian, a hopeful expectation of something good. We shouldn't have a fearful expectation of something bad. No, we should have a hopeful expectation of something good. This word hope also points to a collective hope. It's a collective hope that binds us together. We together as a church ought to have a singular hope as we look forward to the rewards that we will eventually receive from Jesus. The hope that we have in Jesus will be enjoyed together, collectively, as we enter into his presence. And not only that, but the hope that we have in Jesus can also be experienced today by those who maintain their connections with their Christian community. It makes me think of the ladies who spoke of the study last night and how much they were encouraged and enjoyed the time together, though they were all in separate locations meeting online. They were still filled with hope as they encouraged one another. Rather than stewing in those feelings of fear that we're all struggling with, rather than stewing in those feelings of fear that cause us to question the future and wonder what's going to happen, let's instead choose to focus on the Lord. And let's choose to encourage one another as we continue to connect with one another. One way that we can do this is by redirecting our attention away from the fear of the unknown to the faith that helps us to remember that the thoughts that the Lord is thinking about us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, because he has a plan to provide us with a future and a hope. When you find your mind beginning to dwell on all of the unknowns and wondering all the horrible things that could potentially happen to all of us, just grab those thoughts, take them captive, and remember that the one who's seated on the throne has good thoughts towards us and has a plan to provide us with a future and a hope. Therefore, rather than getting caught up in the media-based hysteria, let's rest in the promises of the Lord. Now, with this as the goal, we should also consider an end times prophecy that the Lord presented in the Gospel of Matthew, because I want to take a realistic point of view on the point in time that we find ourselves in. And so if you would, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. And as you make your way to the 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel account, I want to remind you that we serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. That's right. He already knows the end, and he's known the end from the beginning of time. Not only that, but we also serve a Savior who has already revealed the future in advance. And as we consider the end times prophecy that we find here in Matthew chapter 24, we quickly realize that the Lord Jesus has already revealed the pandemic that we're currently dealing with today. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me here at Matthew chapter 24, I want to begin reading at verse 3. Here we learn that the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now here in these verses, we find the Lord Jesus describing what the world is going to be like before his return. This not only includes wars and rumors of wars, but Jesus also refers to natural disasters as well as famines. And finally, he mentions pestilences. That word pestilences, found there in the middle of verse 7, it's translated from a Greek word which refers to the diseases and the plagues that break out until they become a pandemic. And so we see that pandemics like the coronavirus will continue to increase until the second coming of Christ. That's exactly what we've seen as we take a snapshot and just a brief look at recent history. For example, there was the Spanish flu of 1918. Then fast forwarding in time, there was SARS in 2003. The swine flu broke out in 2009, followed by Ebola in 2014, and then MERS in 2015. And now we find ourselves face-to-face with yet another strain of the coronavirus, which is creating a brand new pandemic. And when we couple this new pandemic with the current culture of social media alarmists who jump on the internet and act like they know everything, that what they're talking about, well, it's no wonder why people are rushing out and fighting over toilet paper and Purell at the grocery store, and it's just insanity. Christian, listen, I'm all for taking wise precautions, and I agree with King Solomon, who once declared that a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. I understand the social distancing. I get the self-quarantine in a time like this, and it makes sense. I get it. But we don't need to freak out, and we don't need to be afraid. Let's walk by faith. Let's walk wisely and prudently as we maintain proper pandemic precautions. At the same time, we must remember that the Lord Jesus is still seated on the throne. As fearful a time as this is, we know who is still seated on the throne. We know the one who's truly wearing the everlasting crown. And we can rejoice in knowing that the thoughts that King Jesus thinks towards us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, because he plans to provide us with a future and a hope. Therefore, let's remain calm. And let's remember that God is going to work all things together for the good of those who love Jesus. Christian, listen, it won't be long before this season is gone. It can be easy to think that, oh, this is never going to be solved and this is always going to be an issue. And no, that's not true. It's going to be just a short amount of time before this season is gone. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you thought about MERS back in 2015 or Ebola back in 2014? When's the last time you thought about the swine flu of 2009? It won't be long before this is just history in our life. A vaccine is going to be created, and our lives will return to normal. And as soon as we're able to, we're going to reopen the doors of our church here at Calvary South Austin. And once again, we'll gather together here corporately and we'll worship the Lord together. And I can't wait for that day. Again, it was the hardest decision that I've ever made as a pastor, to close the doors of our church and encourage these online meetings. But that's exactly what needed to happen. But I look forward to the day when we can open those doors and welcome you back here physically here in this facility. But until that day, I encourage you, stay plugged in. Don't slip away. Don't let this be an opportunity for you to backslide. Stay plugged in. Take part in the services that we're going to be offering right here on our website. And not only that, but I also encourage you to take advantage of this time. Don't allow fear to control you right now. Don't allow fear of the unknown to drive you away from the Lord. Take advantage of this time by recognizing that this is a perfect opportunity for us to reach out to the unbelievers that we know. We have the tools to do it. We have social media, which is a doorway into every home of the people that you know. Why not invite them to become a part of our church through attending these online services? Why not use social media right now to reach out to those who are so filled with fear that they don't even know what to do? Let's take this moment, let's take this opportunity to present them with the hope that we have. The unbelievers around us, they don't have hope, and they don't know what the future holds. But we know what the future holds because we know who holds the future. And we know that our Savior Jesus has good thoughts towards those who trust in him. And he's going to provide us with a future and a hope. Let's take this opportunity to present the unbelievers that we know with the good news, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Let's invite them to trust in Jesus so that they too can have a future and a hope. God bless you guys. I look forward to seeing you this Sunday. I encourage you to continue to visit our website. We will be posting daily encouragements. And this Sunday, we're going to continue to consider what the Christian response to the coronavirus ought to be. And so join us this Sunday. The service, because we typically have two services, we have a 9:15 and 11:15 service, but the reason why we have two services here at the physical location is so that we can have children's ministry, and the children's ministry workers can then attend another service. And so it's good for us to have two services as we physically meet together. But now, because that's no longer necessary during this short season of life, we're just going to have one service on Sunday. That service, it will begin at 10 a.m. So join us right here online at 10 a.m. Tiffany's going to be here to lead us in worship. I'm going to present us with another Bible study. Join us. Let's continue to assemble together in the only way we can right now, online. And as we do, we will continue to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth as we seek his face together in this unique way. God bless you guys. And let's close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word and for how you use it to encourage us and challenge us. And Lord, we pray, knowing that you have all of this in control, help us to simply rest in that knowledge. Help us to trust in you and know that our times and seasons are in your life. Lord, I pray that this would be an opportunity for our growth. Lord, that we would draw near to you throughout this time. And as we draw near to you, that you would draw near to us and that we would grow during this pandemic. That we would become closer and closer to you and more like you for your glory. And Lord, help us to reach those who don't yet believe in you. Help us to present them with the gospel message so that they too can have a future and a hope. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys, and I'll see you on Sunday here online at CalvarySouthAustin.com.